Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to head inside the film room and break down the tape. The FantasyGuru.com weekly matchup podcast is on. Here's John Hansen and Greg Cosell.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer Man. Welcome to the week one matchup podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. It is Thursday, September 10th, and we know what time it is. It's time for the NFL season to kick off. Before we get to our guy, Greg Cosell, we just wanted to remind you that at FantasyGuru.com, we've got all your needs for your fantasy football roster management, daily fantasy content as well. Check out the website, FantasyGuru.com. We're rolling out today, actually, our DFS Guru Excel tool. Now, this thing is unbelievable. Utilizing our exclusive algorithm, you can optimize lineups for the three top daily fantasy sites using our projections. So check that out, FantasyGuru.com. We also going to have a DFS tip sheet. Our guy, Kevin Adams, is going to be rolling out a different type of a column this year in terms of daily fantasy, and we're going to really adjust the way we produce our content because it's all about the players and the positional previews, if you will, and not necessarily about the games themselves. So we're rolling it out all this week. So check it out. I think a lot of our readers are going to be really excited. A lot of condensed content and a lot of content that we get insight from Mr. Greg Cosell, and he joins us now. Greg, good morning.
John, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm ready for week one. I'm sure you are. You're busy getting ready for the matchup show on ESPN. You're back here for, what is it, year 30?
Well, given that I'm only 29, that's probably not true.
Well, I was going to say that you were 11. I mean, this is my 21st year running the website, Greg. I was actually 4. When I
wow,
started.
Well, see, there yeah. you go. So I started, I think, with you when I was 5.
Gotcha. All right, yeah. Well, let's get to it here. No more BS in here. Let's get right to the crux of the matter, and that is NFL football. And we'll start, obviously, with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. And we were talking off the air, obviously, yesterday, Greg, and it's week one's tough. I mean, for fantasy, look, you drafted these guys to be your starters. Start them, basically. I mean, there shouldn't be more than one or two little roster juxtapositions, if you will, in week one. But, you know, it's difficult for sure because we just don't know. And a weird preseason, right, Greg? I mean, some teams didn't do a damn thing this summer. So there are some situations we're literally blind going into week one, right?
No, I mentioned to you when we were talking last night that, you know, I spent so much time taking really detailed notes, particularly, I do that with every game I watch, but particularly with that third preseason week, the so-called dress rehearsal. So I'm really looking at individuals and specific players so I could talk to you. And then I see a lot of these guys that started, they get cut. So the preseason, I start to think, well, what does it really mean,
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, it really yeah. is. You know, roster, just the roster management on the NFL level right now just seems more chaotic than ever. I mean, guys that you feel like are going to have large roles are getting cut and all that. But look, so everyone's under the same umbrella here. So we're going to be wrong. Our goal is to be wrong fewer times than the other people. So let's start with tonight's football game, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the world champion New England Patriots. And Greg, the first question is, again, it's Bill Belichick, so who the hell knows? But Belichick typically does like to kind of look and target a guy and the main guy, if you will, and take him out. And he determines who the main guy is. Sometimes it's a guy like Charles Clay, surprisingly. But for the Steelers, it's got to be Antonio Brown. Is that possible? Can Antonio Brown, if Bill Belichick decides to sell out to stop him, can that even be done?
Yeah, I think you can take a player out of a game if you're really committed to doing it. And, you know, it got me thinking after we talked last night, and I went back and looked through a lot of notes for this morning. And, you know, that you mentioned Heath Miller. And one of the things I noticed in looking at my notes from last year is how often later in the season he matched Devin McCourty man-to-man on tight ends. And so that would not surprise me at all, because I know you asked me about Jamie Collins, and you know, in looking back through my notes from last season, he matched McCourty on tight ends quite a bit. He matched Patrick Chung on tight ends as well. So I think you'll probably see that in this game.
So we all know what Antonio Brown is. We know that Le'Veon Bell won't play, and we know that Martavis Bryant won't play. Does this strike you as a significant opportunity here for Marcus Wheaton, knowing what we know about Antonio Brown and Bill Belichick? I'm thinking here Marcus Wheaton is going to have some opportunities here, maybe some one-on-one coverage. And, you know, again, to try and think of it like a Bill Belichick, I'll take my chances with Marcus Wheaton catching six balls as long as Antonio Brown doesn't catch nine.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think Wheaton's the guy who will have opportunities. Now he needs to get open, and now Ben has to feel comfortable throwing it to him. I thought Wheaton looked good in the preseason, for whatever it's worth, but he's the guy who's going to get the opportunities.
What do you think about the Patriot run defense as D'Angelo Williams gears up to go up against these guys? And I think D'Angelo is still pretty good. I think by the eyeball test, he kind of looks like the same guy. No, Pouncey at center is not good, but how tough of a matchup is this for the Steelers running the football? Obviously, Vince Wilfork is no longer there. That can't hurt.
Yeah, but I think they have a pretty good front seven. I mean, they've got good linebacker depth. Mayo's back. They have Mayo, Hightower, Jamie Collins. They're playing Malcolm Brown, the rookie, quite a bit. They did in the preseason anyway. Like you say, with Belichick, you never know. But I think their front seven's pretty good. I think this will be a tough go for the Steelers to run the ball with consistency.
All right, well, it looks like Big Ben's going to have to chuck it around a little bit, and they're thin at receiver, man. It looks like we're relying on Darius Haywood-Bey, which is a little scary. The rookie Sammy Coates, Greg, is buried on the depth chart here. So it'll be if Brown gets taken out, and for the record, quote-unquote taken out, in my mind with Brown means he only catches balls for 74 yards as opposed to 9 for a buck 12. On the other side, the Patriots, and look, Greg, here's a great unknown. Do you have a feel for the Steeler D? They've got some names here. Ryan Shazier stands out. You know, Jarvis Jones, a former first-round pick. But, you know, of course, they use their first-round pick this year on Bud Dupree. But do we have a feel for what this Steeler defense is? Like, do they have a pass rush? Are they going to be able to cover on the back end?
I don't think their coaches have a feel yet for the Steeler D, John, and I'm being honest. I think they have to figure that out as they go. They've made some changes in scheme and personnel, and until you start playing games, you know, it's a little bit of guesswork. You make the changes, obviously hoping that you'll be better, and you truly believe you will be, but until you start playing the games, you don't know.
And we don't know about the Patriot backfield. We know it's likely going to be Deion Lewis in the mix. He hasn't played football in a couple of years, Greg. And you also have Brandon Bolden in the mix there. And James White, maybe Travaris Cadet. So that's a great unknown. But Brady is Brady. But then again, he didn't really look all that great in the preseason. Little off. He's going to be angry for sure. What do you think about his matchup throwing the football against his defense? I would think they can just kind of look to dink and dunk all day long.
Well, that's sort of their offense anyway. Look, he didn't play a lot in the preseason. He wasn't overly sharp. Obviously, he probably had a lot on his mind. But, I think that it's even hard to know with that. I mean, I know people will probably just assume he's Brady and he's going to come in and be great. I don't know the answer to that. I know that's not what you're looking for, but I don't feel comfortable. And I know you probably have to do predictions and all that, but I don't necessarily feel comfortable with saying, he's going to throw for X amount of yards. I don't know that. Obviously they don't have a deep threat, but they didn't have one last year.
Yeah. Look, we just use logic, and the fact of the matter is, LeGarrette Blount's not going to be there. They really don't have much in the backfield that we can count on at all. And it's Brady. So against a beatable defense that we certainly don't know that the Steeler defense is remotely close to a shutdown D. In fact, it could be one of the worst 10 defenses in the league again this year. So our opinion is that, look, they're going to put the game in Brady's hands. He's ATB. He's angry Tom Brady. So I think he'll probably have a solid game here I think the weather is going to hold up here, so we'll check that as we move along. But moving on, Greg, to Green Bay and Chicago. And we did notice that Jay Cutler, who, by the way, just didn't – actually had a pretty good preseason, but did very little work with his receivers, with Alshon Jeffrey, Eddie Royal, and Marcus Wilson out. But for whatever reason, and maybe you can explain why, you know, Dom Capers has kind of owned Jay Cutler. Any thoughts there?
I think Capers is a schemer. You know, he builds his game plan specific to his opponent. And, you know, I think if Cutler's going to have to throw the ball a lot against a Dom Capers defense, it can be a struggle. In an ideal world, that's not the way Chicago wants to play. But their defense may not be good enough to play for their offense to play the way John Fox wants them to play. When all's said and done, we know what John Fox's profile is, despite what he did with Peyton Manning. That's, you know, he had Peyton Manning. But I think John Fox wants to run the ball. They've got a lot of backs now. We know about Matt Forte, but they also have Langford. Is Kadeem Carey, is he still there? He was, a second-round pick last year. So they've got backs. Yeah, they've got backs, and that's the way they want to play. Now, I don't think their defense week one is going to be up to the challenge of doing its thing to fit the profile, but I think it'll get better as the year progresses. But there's no way John Fox wants Jay Cutler dropping back 35 times a game.
What do you think about Green Bay up front here? We talked last night about their secondary. They still do have some players, for sure. You've got Casey Hayward, you got Sam Shields still here, Micah Hyde, Demarius Randall, who's an intriguing player, and, of course, Morgan Burnett, Clinton Dix. I mean, the secondary looks to be in solid shape here, but what about up front? What about up front against the run?
Yeah, well, they've struggled last year quite a bit. And you know, the thing about Dom is he's very multiple up front. He mixes and matches. He can play his nickel versus base offensive personnel. He does a lot of different things. Sometimes they work, sometimes they backfire. And it seems when they don't work that teams run for a ton of yards. So, it's hard to know. I mean, I think Chicago will be a fairly conventional run offense. You're not going to have read option principles. You're not going to have any of that. I think there'll be a fairly conventional run offense.
And Aaron Rodgers has really owned the Bears. And I know you are fairly intrigued by some of the puzzle pieces here that Vic Fangio has. And Vic Fangio's track records is very good, Greg. But they are transitioning here to a 3-4. And, you know, they're not going to have J.R. Ratliff, which is pretty big, Greg. I mean, unless Eddie Goldman's ready for prime time here in week one, that's a significant loss against the run. They've just been awful against the run here. What are your thoughts here on the Bear defense out of the gate? I mean, I know it's very difficult.
I think it'll struggle early. It'll struggle early and get better as the season progresses. I don't think their talent is as bad as some suggest, because they were so bad last year and for the last couple of years. But I think early on with a new scheme, they'll struggle. You know, I looked at Jared Allen quite a bit as an outside backer. I thought he handled himself fine. But I think they'll struggle early on. You know, they're going to give a rookie, Eddie Goldman, from Florida State, a ton of snaps inside. They've got other young players who are in their second and third year, but I think they're a work in progress. But I think they'll be better as progresses.
Moving on, Greg, to the next game here, and it is Kansas City at Houston. Your thoughts on Houston up front here? Is this a top seven defense, and how are they going to match up to the speedy Jamaal Charles, maybe catching passes out of the backfield?
Well, you know, that's where Jadeveon Clowney, we don't know what his situation is. You know, right now I think their listed starters at outside backer are Whitney Mercilus and John Simon. I think you can attack those guys in the pass game. And Charles would be a logical guy to do so. Because there are certain route concepts where you can force an outside backer in a 3-4 to have to run with a back. So I think you'll see that. I think the Chiefs have made a commitment to try to get the ball down the field, not as a foundation, but more shot plays. And obviously, in someone like Macklin now, they do have an outside receiver who can get over the top. Every year Kelsey's become a guy that everybody wants to talk about because he's so gifted physically. But I think even with a commitment to maybe try for more big plays, John, I don't think they're going to be a passing team in a strict sense. You know, I don't think Kelsey's catching 90 balls. I don't think that's the way they're going to play offense.
What do you think about the Texans secondary right now? You know, you've got some veterans back here, Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, the former number one pick. You know, I don't know a ton about a couple of guys who are well in the mix for safety at safety. You know, they brought in Quentin Demps, saw that on Hard Knocks. What do you think of the secondary here for the Texans?
You know, I think it's a little bit of a work in progress. I mean, Joseph's getting up in years. He's been hurt a little bit here and there through the last couple of years. You know, they did sign Kareem Jackson. I think he's a solid corner, you know, not a great corner, but a solid corner. And again, I think the safety position is they're trying to work through that. You know, a couple of years ago, they drafted G.J. Swearinger out of South Carolina, and he ended up being cut. He didn't work out. So I think the safety position is a little bit of a work in progress.
How about the Kansas City defense as we look at the Texan offense? Brian Hoyer, Al Blue. Maybe we saw a little bit from the tight ends. I actually saw Garrett Graham catch a couple balls in the preseason. I was like, wow, look at this. Tight end exists in Houston. You know, their receiving core is fairly intriguing. I mean, I've obviously warmed up to DeAndre Hopkins. The problem, I guess, and I've kind of figured this out, why I haven't been high on Hopkins, because I want to see size, or I want to see speed. And he really doesn't have either. But what he has is an unbelievable wingspan and just incredible hands and all that. So, I mean, I got to give the kid some love. He's playing really well. But what do you think of their matchup here against KC? I mean, I look at this KC defense, and I guess we'll find out about Dontari Poe. But, Greg, I think I see a solid defense at all three levels. I mean, they don't have any glaring weakness.
No, I like their defense a lot, and I think that Houston will have trouble moving the ball, and I think they'll struggle to run it, and then they'll get into a lot of third and longs, which is exactly where you don't want Brian Hoyer. So, but this KC defense, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, John, to me is one to watch. I think this is a really solid defense. I thought the first-round pick, rookie corner, Marcus Peters, handled himself really well in the preseason. He's going to start because Sean Smith is missing the first four games, and I think Peters will end up being a starter even when Smith comes back. So I think this is a really good defense pretty much at all three levels.
Exactly, and they're going to have that great depth when Smith returns. And speaking of having a tough go, let's talk about the Browns at the Jets. I mean, where do we go with that? Do the Browns have any chance at all? Because the only chance they have is to run the ball with Isaiah Crowell. I'm not exactly seeing that, Greg, against this defense. So, you know, as we talked about, and as we talked about a lot, and one of the reasons we really love the Jet D, I mean, they were our favorite fantasy D because we know what the head Todd Bowles is going to do. I mean, he's going to put Cromartie and Revis on an island and send the house. And I guess that starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Todd Bowles, and we've talked about this, is from that school of thought that if you can play man-to-man on the outside, it gives you a ton of options with everything else in your defense, because then you can take away the middle of the field. If you have man corners that can take away the outside, then you can schematically take away the middle of the field. And even though they'll be missing some players, they still have Cromartie and Revis, and, you know, I think it'll be very difficult for the Browns in this game. I mean, the Browns really have very little in the way of skill players that would scare anybody.
Oh, it's bad. It is just horrendous. And to think that this team had Charles Johnson in their grips last summer and they let him go is kind of amazing. But the Jets, I like Chris Ivory in this game simply because volume. I mean, you know, they're going to be in control here. I mean, I don't think Brian Hartline's making plays on Revis and Cromartie and fat Dwayne Bowe, who reported to camp at 230 pounds. I don't think he's doing much. He's kind of buried on the depth chart. So I do think Chris Ivory's going to get plenty of carries and touches here. But you seem to think, and you do think, that the Browns will be better against the run. Now, they were shockingly bad last year. I thought they would be
good.
Yes,
they were. I think they'll be better. You know, but I think that – you know, the big question, you know, with run defense a lot, too, is how much teams run against another team. I mean, I think they'll face a lot of runs because I think teams are going to get ahead on the Browns. And when I say ahead, not by 30 points, but the Browns are going to have a tough time scoring. So no opponent's going to have to abandon their game plan against the Browns.
Yeah, and that would start this week, I would think, with
Chris Ivory. And therefore teams stay with a run. You know, that's how it works.
Yeah, and then you got Ryan Fitzpatrick and throwing it to Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, a little Jeff Cumberland Farms in there as well. And does Joe Hayden travel? That's the question here. Can we?
Yeah, and we talked about this last night. I don't know, because Tremont Williams is a veteran who's matched up against a lot of really good receivers in his career. I don't know the answer to that. You know, and he's a good size corner too. He's not a small guy, so that's one of those things we don't know until the game is played. My sense is that he won't, but I certainly could be wrong on that.
Indy at Buffalo, and this is a big one here. And for all the people who drafted Andrew Luck real early, there's some concern. I know we're getting questions. Should I start Andrew Luck?
We talked about this last night, and I mentioned to you that last year, other than the AFC Championship game, Luck's worst game of the season came against the Cleveland Browns and Mike Pettine. And Mike Pettine is clearly a Rex Ryan disciple. A lot of the same concepts, a lot of the same principles. They did a really good job with their pressures against the Colts, because remember, you're not just attacking Luck. You're attacking the O-line and protection concepts, and they did a really good job. They fooled Luck a couple of times, which doesn't happen often at all. So I think that when I look at this matchup, I'm very intrigued by this, because Rex is going to do a lot of those kinds of things. And I think this is a tough matchup for Andrew Luck and the Colts offense.
How do they offset that? Do they run the ball, just kind of base personnel and throw out of that?
They could. I mean, I see a little more, you know, everybody looks at the Colts now, and there'll be games in which they'll just spread it out and Luck will toss it all over the yard because they got great speed. But, you know, I there's a part of me that looks at this game and feels like they're going to play a lot of two tight end sets with Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen. Yeah. Because, you know, the one thing no coach wants, no matter how good the quarterback is free defenders running at your quarterback. And, you know, one thing about Rex, you spread him out, he's not one of those coaches that backs off when you spread him out. Because if you're only going to block with five offensive linemen, Rex is coming. He's going to hit your quarterback. That's his belief. He's not a guy who goes, oh, they're spreading me out, I better back off. He doesn't do that.
It's going to be a tough matchup for Frank Gore. There's no question. But,
yep,
Greg, It's this defense. It's Rex Ryan. Are we going to see the rookie Josh Robinson or Tyler Varga on the field? I think Frank Gore is going to be on the field a lot, and maybe he doesn't have a lot of success running it. But you know, you just mentioned the base personnel and all that. Throw out of that, I think Frank Gore is going to be out there, maybe catching four or five balls in this game. I mean, that makes some sense.
Well, he's going to need to be in there for pass pro too, because you need a back when you play a Rex Ryan defense who understands pass pro. That's absolutely critical.
Yeah, let's talk about the Buffalo offense here. And it looks like LeSean McCoy is going to be good to go here. So this is fascinating. McCoy, the O-line, I've kind of thrown them under the bus all off-season because I thought they were horrible blocking for the run last year. But, you know, they have looked a little improved this summer. Incognito has been pretty good. Now you got McCoy. You got these weapons. I mean, granted, Tyrod Taylor has not thrown a damn pass to Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, or Percy Harvin, who may not play. But I'm kind of looking at Charles Clay here. I think the Colts were shaky against backs and tight ends last year. I'm looking at him. Your thoughts on this matchup? I would think McCoy, if healthy, will have some success.
Yeah, and again, you're going to see a lot of option principles. So, you know, that puts a strain on a defense. And this team's going to run the ball. I mean, obviously, if their defense holds up, they're going to run the ball, John. I mean, we know what Rex is going to do. Rex is not going to beat you by tricking you on offense. You know, he has a quarterback he likes because he gives, you know, his belief is if his quarterback can make three or four plays and they could be running plays, not necessarily throwing the ball, then, hey, we're in great shape because that fits with the rest of my team. So they're going to run the ball, and they'll run it in a variety of ways. They have Greg Roman. He's very multiple with his run game concepts.
Miami at Washington, and it's critical, I'm sure, that the Redskins have to run the football. I'm not sold just yet on their old line. They're kind of transitioning here, and the rookie Scherf looks a little shaky.
Two new starters on the right side. Yeah, you're right.
And how nasty is this front seven, and how tough of a matchup is this for Alfred Morris and maybe even a little Matt Jones running the football?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the Redskins have questions. So, you know, I think that without, you know, we know that even Kirk Cousins, I mean, this front group for Miami, I think Miami's front seven could be one of the best in the league because, you know, everybody's talking about Sue and rightly so, but they've also got a number of really good rotational D tackles in Earl Mitchell, CJ Mosley. They've got, you know, we know about Wake and Vernon, really good on the edge. Jelani Jenkins to me is a star in the making at linebacker. This is a tough group up front. I mean, this is going to be a tough go for the Redskins offense.
Now they do have some issues in the secondary. You got Brent Grimes.
Yep.
And I would think that Brent Grimes, Greg, is going to travel with DeSean Jackson. I mean, he's one of the
corners. I would
think
so, too. Yeah.
So I kind of think maybe this could be a Pierre Garçon game. But Jordan Reed, too, I'm intrigued by him. We do have him pretty high, but do you think a guy like Jelani Jenkins can match up with Jordan Reed?
Athletically, I think he can, yeah. So, you know, we'll see if that is indeed the matchup. You know, sometimes teams use, you know, the other thing, and I mentioned this to you last night, is all through the preseason, so I'm assuming it will happen week one, is they started Walt Akins at safety with Rashad Jones. And Akins is a converted college corner who was initially a big-time recruit at Illinois before transferring to Liberty, and he was a college corner. He has really good size and corner skills. So, you know, they could put Walt Akins on Jordan Reed.
And you think the secondary for Miami is a little underrated and could be viewed in a month
bit.
Or so? Okay.
Yeah. Because
if they come through, Greg, now the Dolphins are just loaded on defense.
If Akins can play, because Rashad Jones is a good, strong safety. You know, he's better near the line of scrimmage. If Akins can play, I think they can have a really, you know, a higher level three-level defense in the NFL. All three levels would be pretty darn good.
You know, Miami's done a pretty good job assembling a roster, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. And I think they're sort of overlooked a little bit, you know, just because Tannehill, and, you know, we don't need to discuss every single guy here, but because Tannehill has had incremental development as opposed to sort of, you know, the explosive development that everybody now thinks is going to happen with quarterbacks. So, you know, and they haven't made the playoffs, but, you know, I think they've sort of built the way teams used to build.
There's a lot of optimism about Tannehill. I saw a couple of articles this week, kind of preseason in the rear view and gearing up for week one. And a lot of people are talking breakout season for Tannehill. And I just hope the weaponry around him is intact because I'm totally on board with that. He's kind of been my guy, Greg, in terms of fantasy, because Andrew Luck is a second round pick. And for comparison's sake, Ryan Tannehill is like a ninth round pick. So
right.
I don't expect him to have the season that Luck had last year, but it could be fairly close, you know, in terms of Tannehill getting like 30 touchdowns, maybe run a couple in. So, you know, I'm very high on Tannehill. Anyway, Redskin defense, you know, they added Stephen Paya, they added Potrose Knighton. Looks like they'll be good against the run, but does it matter against this scheme where they, you know, they run against a lot of nickel?
They won't be playing their base defense, so they're going to be in their nickel. And I think pass rush is a question at this point. I mean, Kerrigan is a very nice player, and I assume he's back this week. I know he didn't play much in the preseason. You know, but really on the other side, you know, Trent Murphy, Preston Smith is a second round pick from Mississippi State who they used, who's not a pure pass rusher. So I think there are 11 personnel, you know, their nickel package is a question mark right now.
And if you're Miami, do you look to attack these linebackers with a Jordan Cap perhaps?
Yeah, and I think Miami is in. It's like Chip Kelly. It's a lot of short, quick throws. They, you know, Tannehill works the middle of the field. They don't push it down the field. It's a sustaining, up tempo, quick throw pass game. So you're going. Tannehill makes a lot of throws between the numbers. You know, 12 yards and under. He makes a lot of those kinds of throws.
Carolina at Jacksonville, and let's talk about Carolina's D first and foremost, because, you know, they've done a pretty good job, I think, on the back end. They've lost guys, and, you know, the last couple of years I've felt like, oh, this secondary is going to be bad and all that. And maybe it's a function of that front seven kind of covering things up for them, but they haven't been bad. And we'll see about Starr this week.
Right.
But I always get that name wrong. But what do you think about this front seven and really the back end? I mean, they seem rock solid.
Well, I think the secondary has a few concerns, John, because the one issue I would have with the secondary is Kirk Coleman has beaten out Trey Boston, which kind of surprised me. So
Oh.
right now their starting safeties are Kirk Coleman and Roman Harper. So they don't have any speed at safety. Both are below average by NFL standards. So again, is this the week that they get exploited? You know, that's always a hard question to answer. But if those two guys will continue to be their starting safeties, there are going to be games where they will be exploited because they have no speed.
Yeah, true. And heck, you still have Charles Tillman back there at corner. I mean, he's not exactly a burner either. But unfortunately for the Jags, there's no Julius Thomas. So we're not worried about speed when we're looking at Mercedes Lewis. So, you know, when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I have real questions about TJ Yeldon. We didn't really see all that much. What do you think here in terms of Blake Bortles? Did look very good.
Really
good. Once you get beyond Allen Robinson, I'm not feeling wonderful about, you know, their offensive weaponry right now. We are encouraged.
There's two players I'd look at, John. And again, just looking at the matchup, I think Rashad Green, who is going to be their slot receiver, who I thought had a really good preseason for Jacksonville, and the other is their receiving tight end Clay Harbor, who. You know, when Julius Thomas comes back, that could all change, but he's not back. He's not playing this week. And Clay Harbor, over the years, has shown some vertical ability, and he could be a guy that could be a factor in this game. It seems every once in a while, and you know this, I mean, he's not a guy who catches seven balls, but it seems like every once in a while, he catches some big gainers. And that could be a part of this game.
Yeah, I can see that. There's no question about it. Plus, Clay Harbor sounds like a really great place to vacation. Greg, you know,
so, not bad, John, not bad.
Carolina, their offense here, and it's going to be all Jonathan Stewart here, but talk about the Jaguar defense. I know we respect them. They got some pass rush for sure. And they've got some playmakers here or some players. I mean, where are the Jaguar defense right now?
Well, you know, I think they're a very solid defense. You know, that whole scheme, you know, it's Gus Bradley, it's Dan Quinn. Those defenses tend to be schematically predictable. They rely on execution. I think with Carolina, they didn't do it much in the preseason because they didn't want Cam to take hits, but they'll go back to using a lot of the option principles, which worked so well for them down the stretch last year. We know they're going to start Ted Ginn and Corey Brown on the outside. So, you know, that's obviously a little bit of a concern for them at this point. But, you know, I think Carolina is going to do what they essentially did last year. It's going to be Cam Newton's offense. Stewart fits into that because of the run game, and they will want to run the ball and control the game that way.
And you also thought Cam threw the ball really well this summer.
I did. I mean, he had a ton of drops, which, you know, again, I don't look at preseason numbers. They're not really relevant. I thought that there were far fewer scattershot throws. And again, it's a very small sample size in two preseason games, John. So, but he just seemed like he threw the ball with more control.
Let's move on to the next game, Seattle at the Rams. And Seattle probably didn't show much this preseason, Greg, but
nope.
I believe that no team in the NFL is better equipped to stop Jimmy Graham than the St. Louis Rams. In fact, back in 2013, Jimmy didn't do a crap against them, Greg. And I know you're very high on Alec Ogletree, the former number one pick, and the safeties, McLeod and McDonald, they really match up well against a Jim Graham.
They do. I mean, McDonald is kind of a stalker. You know, he's a long, athletic kid. You know, not necessarily quick twitch, but quick enough. And he's a stalking kind of athlete. Ogletree, I mean, even when he first came out, everybody talked about it would take time because of his lack of maturity and all that, and he needed to learn. But that kid is a big-time stud athlete, and he's about 245 pounds. This is a good defense. I mean, Aaron Donald, you know, I remember the second game last year against Seattle. I think the first three plays of the game, he just dominated those plays like no tackle I've seen on three consecutive plays, other than maybe J.J. Watt. So, and Seattle has a revamped O-line. You know, this is a tough defense to play against for Seattle.
Plus, Greg, it's year two now of Greg Williams. So Yeah, they should be a little bit more comfortable and all that, ready to rock and roll, be maybe even more aggressive. And they also have Nick Fairley on the bench, the former number one pick. So I mean, they're loaded. So
the only thing I will say, Greg Williams' defenses have a tendency, you know, seemingly once or twice a game to have a bad bust. And, you know, you never know when it's going to happen. You don't know who the recipient on the offensive side of the ball is going to be. So I can't sit here and tell you, oh, you know, Tyler Lockhart, count on it. You know, I don't know that. But it seems like once or twice a game, they just have a bad bust that leads to a big play for the opposing offense.
And not that we've seen it quite as often, but especially early on in Russell Wilson's career. I mean, he throws those moon shots. It's like the ball hits the rafters. But are they going to have time for a slow developing bomb behind this O line, Greg? Because this is a real problem.
And they're going to count. Look, you know, we know, and we've learned this over the years. They like Russell running the football. They view that as a significant part of their offense. And I'm talking about improvisationally. So yeah. Wilson will have to move in this game. I mean, I remember last year he had a 50-plus yard run against the Rams in one of the games where he ran down the left sideline. I mean, those are the things Russell Wilson does. And again, they're spontaneous, so they break down the discipline of your defense. And I think the Seahawks are really comfortable with him doing that. I think they almost encourage it.
It's like they paid Wilson. They've used resources to pay Lynch. And they've also lost resources on the O-line. It's like they're cheaping out on the O-line because of Russell Wilson, and he'll just run around. I mean, that's
yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's an organizational philosophy, but it seems like it plays. That's the way it's playing out. You know, O-line is clearly the weakest part of their team.
Exactly. And let's talk about the Rams offense here. There's a player, and look, their O-line is a concern. They've got a couple of rookies. But there's one player who's not a rookie that you're not liking what you're seeing here in the preseason. Who's that?
I thought Greg Robinson had a poor preseason at left tackle. And he was a number two pick, and they're expecting him to be a stud left tackle. And I think that he's still a work in progress. And we know how the Rams want to play, and they're going to run the ball. Even if with Cam Chancellor out and Deion Bailey playing, and I studied Bailey hard in the preseason, I know a lot about him. You know, he's perfectly fine against the run. So I don't think this is a matchup where you look at Cam Chancellor being out and go, oh my God, that's a killer for this defense. Their defense will be fine against the Rams.
So you got Nick Foles, doesn't really handle pressure well, as well as you'd like to see. Likely, or possibly, let's say here on a Thursday morning, rolling with Benny Cunningham, who's serviceable, but he's not a difference maker at all. And how scary of a matchup still is it for the Ram offense here?
Well, they won't score a lot of points either. They'll take a few shots here and there, but they're not. I don't think they'll sustain a lot of offense running the ball. In all honesty, so
New Orleans. Know,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying.
No, Orleans. I was done.
Yeah, good. New Orleans at Arizona. How shaky do you view the Saint D? I mean, I really find it to be quite shaky. I mean, they're transitioning to a 4-3. I don't know about their pass rush. They're not going to have Keenan Lewis. I thought the secondary was god awful last year. I don't know anything about Jarius Byrd. How good of a matchup is this for Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians? We know what they want to do, Greg, throw it down the field.
This could be difficult. I mean, you know, obviously they're going to have to try to rely on pressure. The one thing we know about the Cards, they do a lot of empty sets. Bruce Arians a believer in that. Rob Ryan's going to have to find some way to pressure those sets. But other than that, I think you're going to see the Cardinals push it down the field. That's what Palmer is. That's what Arians is. It's a good marriage of coach and quarterback. That's what you're going to see. If those plays, you know, this is one of those games, John, and you know, again, you don't know what's going to happen until it happens, but if Palmer is on in this game, he could throw for 400 yards.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying he will, but if he's on, that could happen.
Well, we have him ranked higher than Peyton Manning this week, Greg. Does that sound right to you?
And that doesn't surprise me at all. I think that's as you look at this game, that's very fair.
Yeah, okay. And Ellington is Ellington. I mean, we know the run is not a real foundation here, but he'll get his, and he's looking solid here as well. Now, for the Saints, I guess the real question, first and foremost, is Patrick Peterson, likely on Brandon Cooks. I mean,
he'll travel because I just don't see Gerard Powers. I don't see them feeling comfortable with that.
Where do you think Cooks is in his development? How able should he be to? I think that it'll be a tough challenge for sure. But I'm not running for the hill. I think Cooks can still make some plays here.
Oh, so do I. And by the way, Drew is going to throw him the ball. So yeah, that's I have no concerns. He's going to be targeted. Cooks will be targeted, and I don't think they're going to game plan. They're going to put Patrick Peterson on him. They're not going to double him. I mean, once in a while they might, but it's not going to be like we talked about with Bill Belichick and Antonio Brown. They're not going to go into this game, you know, saying, oh, we got to take away Cooks and we're going to, you know, allocate two or three guys to him. They're not going to do that. They have Patrick Peterson. They're going to put him on him.
What do you think about the Cardinals run defense up front here? I saw the kid Okafor, I thought was playing well in the preseason.
Yeah.
Because Mark Ingram's, Greg, is looking good too here on the other side. I do love their O-line. I think Ingram's getting the ball for sure with no CJ
right.
Spiller. Should we expect a little bit of a drop off here with the Cardinal run defense?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they don't have great speed at linebacker, particularly inside. Now it depends on how the Saints want to play it, how Sean Payton sees this, John. Is he going to line up a lot in base personnel and keep the Cards-based personnel on the field? Is he going to go three wide? You know, it's all the matchup element, but I think the Cards in their base defense, they would rather be in their nickel or dime. And so given that, it'll be interesting to see how Sean Payton plays it.
Detroit at San Diego. And we were talking about it, and we just don't know about Ladarius Green because he suffered what may be a concussion. If Ladarius Green is out, Greg, and we all know that Antonio Gates is out, and we also know that, you know, we can't really rely on Melvin Gordon. I mean, how are the Chargers going to play offense here? I'm thinking this could be a big Danny Woodhead game.
Yeah, well, clearly, you know, Gordon hasn't lived up to the expectations yet because he's not, you know, they're talking about running back by committee. And Gordon, you know, struggled a bit in the preseason. He has to learn how to run in the NFL. Woodhead is always seems to me to be their default option because they can go back to the shotgun, in which Woodhead's very effective running. He's an excellent receiver. You know, you thought when they drafted Gordon, and they might evolve to this, that they'd put Rivers under center more and have a more conventional NFL run game, and they may get there, but they're not there now. So I think Woodhead, of their backs, is the guy who's going to get the most snaps.
And DeAndre Levy, we'll see about him. He may not play in this game, but I do think the safety's there. If a Green does go, I'm not feeling him because I think Glover Quinn and Ahedebo are pretty good against tight ends, Greg.
Yeah, Ahedebo's been one of those players that everybody always talks about how limited he is, and he just, you know, keeps playing every year and starting and, you know, does okay. I mean, he's a certain kind of player, but he's pretty solid. The closer to the line of scrimmage he is, the better he is.
For the Lion offense, Matt Stafford seemingly enters week one with a lot of positives. They're talking him up in terms of year two of the offense, so that's good. First and foremost, this is not a week for Eric Ebron. The Chargers are just always good against tight ends. Is that all Eric Weddle? I mean, who else is involved in that?
Well, I think I love their defensive coordinator, and I think they do. They're one of those defenses that no one really talks about, but they're really difficult to play against. They're really good schematically, you know, because they don't have, you know, let's say a true pass rusher that everybody sort of forgets. You know, they don't look at them, but it's John Pagano, Chuck's brother. No one really talks about him. You mentioned Weddle. You can make the argument that he's arguably the most intelligent, versatile safety in the game with Polamalu done. And John Pagano does a lot of really good things in certain situations that are really difficult for offenses. That's sort of his MO, and no one talks about him, and they should.
Not an easy matchup here, then, for the Lions.
No, it is not an easy matchup.
You got Corey Legit, you got Melvin Ingram ascending, you've got, you know, Flowers and Verrett at corner, the aforementioned Weddle. You know, they're there. They're not bad. on defense here. So this could be a little bit of an underwhelming game here for the Detroit Lions offense. Moving on to Cincinnati at the Oakland Raiders. And I was a little surprised talking with you earlier in the week. I'm assuming the Raiders secondary is going to be bad again, but you think that, you know, they're not a lost cause on the back end, Oakland.
No, I don't see. And again, you know, you never know early in the season, John, but I think they'll be okay, to be honest with you. I mean, I happen to be, and this is where my college study, you know, and it comes in, and watching a lot of individual players comes in, but I really like Travis Carey, who's now starting on the outside after being their slot corner as a rookie last year. I think that kid has a chance to be a really good player.
What's disconcerting, as we flip it back, let me actually, you know what? Let me just wrap it up here with the Cincinnati Bengals. They're gonna run Jeremy Hill. I mean, that's the foundation of their offense. but Tyler Eifert, I mean, are you watching him on tape, thinking to yourself like I am? Wow, he's a good bet to make a lot of big plays this year. I see him kind of open for big plays over the middle a lot this preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you really look at their team, I think a healthy Eifert, and he was a first-round pick, a healthy Eifert with Andy Dalton at quarterback, to me, becomes their number two receiver after A.J. Green. So, you know, what that means numbers, I can't answer that, but I think that, you know, he's a guy that, you know, first of all, he's a really athletic kid. He can line up outside, too. So we haven't really seen the full Tyler Eifert effect yet because he got hurt, you know, in his first year and then missed basically all of last year. But I think he's a very versatile tight end who can do a lot of things. You know, they'll line him up all over.
Yeah. Yeah. The Raider offense, not a great matchup here either. Bengals have great depth in the secondary. I mean, we love Amari Cooper, but not sure he's going to go off here against this deep group of corners. Although the Bengal front seven may not be dominant. No Vontaze Burfict, Greg. Talk about that impact. They don't have
That's
great
a big
pass
loss.
Rush.
Yeah. No, they don't. And, you know, they're counting on Geno Atkins to be back to what he was. We don't know that yet. They don't really have a true edge rusher, although in any given game, Carlos Dunlap can look great, but then he can also just be a guy. So it's hard to know with their pass rush. I think their linebackers will be a bit of an issue in coverage. We talked last night that, you know, Michael Rivera is a tight end that last year it seemed like Derek Carr developed a little simpatico with Michael Rivera. This could be a game where Rivera is targeted quite a bit.
Yeah, we're going to pump him up in our projections, looking at that matchup there. Moving on, Greg, actually, you know, I mean, look, we pumped him up. We pushed him. I mean, we didn't go crazy about it, but Latavius Murray, I know they love him. We know the talent is there. I think he's going to be fine if he can stay on the field. But the O-line, Greg, didn't really open up a lot of holes here in the preseason.
No. And Murray had nowhere to run, and he got hit a lot really early. So that's a big wait and see. Their O-line is a little bit of a work in progress right now, John. It's a little bit of an issue. And, you know, if their run game is totally shut down, that's going to make it difficult on Derek Carr.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason why they need to stay committed to Latavius and just keep feeding him the rock, and just hopefully he can hold up. And look, if we removed all players with some concerns from the equation, we would recommend no one in a preseason, Greg. I mean, that's the thing. Who do you
that's
like
right.
this year? No one. I don't like anyone.
Right.
Everyone's got some sort of issue. Moving on, Baltimore at Denver. And, you know, I'm not feeling great about Peyton this year. Saying, look, I've got him with over 4,100 yards and like 34 touchdowns. Okay. That's a great season for a 39-year-old guy. But for fantasy, it's good, not great, because he's not going to do anything on the ground. And I didn't see much that makes me encouraged in the preseason. It's only the preseason. But this week, I'm not feeling great about what I just said, plus the Ravens defense. Your thoughts here on this matchup for Peyton and Kubiak and the Broncos?
Well, the only thing I will say, and again, you know, Peyton's run this offense before. There's not going to be an issue with Peyton, you know, figuring it out. But he's a repetition guy. And, you know, he didn't have Emmanuel Sanders in the preseason. I'm sure he's still working through Cody Latimer. They're going to run the ball far more. They feel very good, obviously, about C.J. Anderson, who looked certainly very good last year. So this is a different offense from what we're used to with Peyton. But it's an offense he's basically – he cut his teeth running this offense. So this is not brand new where you're like, oh, my God, he's going to have to learn totally new stuff. So
this is Edger and James, a stretch play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're going to see. Now, that kind of offense, just so you know, that creates some downfield opportunities. And keep one thing in mind. In the preseason, when you play only a certain number of snaps, if you happen not to hit a few of those big plays, then everybody goes, oh, you can't make plays. Well, what happens if they come out and they get the look they want, and all of a sudden, boom, he hits a 50-yard play, in the first quarter? Or what are people going to say? Oh, he was just waiting for the regular season. It's that stuff is so hard to know for sure. You just don't know that. So, but it's an offense he's very comfortable with, John. It's just a matter of more repetition.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at Kubiak's history, when Matt Schaub was putting up big numbers in Houston, you could argue that they're way better off in Denver because, no offense to Andre, I'm going to give Demaryius a slight edge, and I'm going to give Emmanuel Sanders a huge edge over Kevin Walter.
Yeah, so I mean, this offense, you just made a great point, and we'll move on. But Matt Schaub for 3, 4, 5, I mean, he led the NFL, I'm almost certain, 1 year in passing yards, under Kubiak. So this offense, does produce, even though it's run based, it produces a lot of big plays in the passing game.
And it does. And like I said, I'm projecting Peyton to throw 34 touchdowns, so I'm not down on him. But
which is not a bad number, by the way.
That's a damn good number. But the one issue is when you look back at Schaub, their defense sucked and he had to throw a lot. This defense in Denver, Greg, they're loaded.
I think they could be a top three defense when all said and done. I really do. I mean, I think their secondary is really good. I think their front's really good. I mean, that was a defense. And again, it's preseason, but they were pretty good last year too. But I thought in the preseason that defense may have jumped out to me as a unit more than any other that I watched.
Yeah, I'm like, how do they fit all these guys under the cap? I mean, here's what I'm looking at here because they've got talent at every level. And I'm not feeling good about Joe Flacco and the Ravens offense overall. I think maybe a lot of checkdowns to Justin Forsett. You got Keeb Tlaib. I mean, he's likely to travel with Steve Smith. They've had some epic battles. What the hell is Flacco going to do here?
Well, and again, Bradley Cooper to me, Bradley Cooper, God, Bradley Roby is a boy. That came out of nowhere. That's because
Bradley Cooper's a Philly guy. We're in the Philly area.
My youngest daughter, that's our favorite guy. So, I guess it just slipped out.
My kids saw Bradley Cooper in Ocean City, New Jersey last week.
There you go.
The tip of the tongue.
Bradley Roby, he has a chance to be a big, big-time NFL corner. He's got every skill you want for a corner. He came out of Ohio State with, I don't want to say issues, but, some people have concerns about his concentration level and all that other stuff. But ability-wise, he's to me, I think he's more physically gifted than Tlaib. Now, he's not at Tlaib's level now because he's only going into his second year. But, we'll see. I mean, Bradley Roby is more than capable of matching up to Steve Smith.
Yeah, true. That's true. So, that would give whomever, I guess, Kamar Aiken. I mean, if Kamar Aiken's on Tlaib, good luck. And I do like Kamar Aiken as a deep sleeper. But, it's hard to back the Ravens really, really other than Justin Forsett. I mean, that's all I have this week for the Ravens. And with Forsett, I'm hoping he catches 5 checkdowns. He'll probably do that 5, 6 grabs for probably 6 yards a catch. But let's move on to the Giants and the Cowboys. If you are Big Blue and you're looking at this defense in Dallas, no Orlando Scandrick. How are you attacking other than obviously getting the ball to Dez Bryant?
Well, I think in this game, Jason Witten's a huge factor, John, because that Giants safety position is a real, real concern. And I think their linebacker position's a concern as well. And I think that Jason Witten could be, Dez Bryant's arguably the best receiver in the game. You could easily make that argument. But I think Jason Witten is a huge factor in this game. I really do.
Yeah, I meant the Cowboys, by the way, there. Yeah, and I do too. And I really liked Witten this year simply because they're not going to be able to run the ball like they did last year. And who the hell knows what's going to happen in this backfield? It doesn't matter to me who starts. I think that obviously Joseph Randle and McFadden are going to get opportunities. It's just a question of who does the most with them in game and production and performance. What do you think of this Giant D, though, overall? And they are not very good, Greg. I don't see a pass rush. I see a lot of issues here for the Giants.
Yeah, my buddy Spags, T. Spagnuolo, has got a lot, to try to get figured out here. But just looking at the Cowboys, and it won't be this week, and I know we're discussing this week, but I'm fascinated to see what happens with Christian Michael in Dallas, because I strongly believe he's the most talented back on their roster right now. Now, he's not going to be the guy this week, and he may never be the guy, because I don't think in his career he's ever, even going back to college, he ever carried the ball maybe more than 160 times in a season. So, there's a mindset that goes with being with the guy, and he may not have that mindset, but he's a really talented runner, more talented than Randle or McFadden.
Yeah, no doubt. For the Giants, and if you are them, what are you looking at here in terms of attacking this Cowboy defense? Could it be a Larry Donnell situation? We all know about Beckham Jr. Reuben Randle likely going to have to step up. Where are you with the Cowboy defense here? Do you have questions about the pass rush? I mean, Sean Lee hasn't gotten hurt yet. That's something.
Well, I think you have to wait and see if you get man or zone. The Cowboys morphed into a man team last year, but they lost Scandrick. So now it's Claiborne on the outside in his fourth year. It's Tyler Patman in the slot. Are they going to play man with those guys? If they play a lot of man, then it's Beckham. If they play a lot of zone, it could be anybody, really. But I think the Giants, you have to wait and see essentially how they play, because that will dictate how you go about it. Last year they played a lot of man, and Beckham got a ton of targets in those two games.
So maybe they go zone here, and it's a little Larry Donnell, a little Reuben Randle, something like that. We don't really know exactly about the running attack here, but do you have any thoughts on Dallas's ability to slow down the run this year? Lee helps.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll be okay versus the run. And the Giants are not a great running team. But, that to me is probably the best part of what the Dallas brings to the table right now. The one stable element. The rest, I think, is a little bit of a work in progress.
Philadelphia Eagles at the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm doing a radio show this year, as I mentioned to you earlier, with Roddy White every Tuesday night. And I did it this week. And I talked about his matchup, and basically I said, look, I think your quarterback's going to have to throw it 40-plus times, and his response was, at least. So what do you think here against the Eagle secondary? I mean, Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurman, yeah, but I think Matt Ryan is just going to have to throw it 40-plus times, and I would think he'll have some success here, well, because it's Matt Ryan.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not going to go into this game expecting a 17-13 game, because their defense isn't good enough. You have to expect Chip Kelly's offense to score here. So I think they're going to have to throw the ball, because their O-line is, for a zone running team under Kyle Shanahan, they're not very athletic on their O-line, and they're starting a rookie runner. So this is a Matt Ryan game. He will throw it. He will drop back 40-plus times. And I think they can throw the ball on this team. As long as they can protect, I think they can throw the ball. Nolan Carroll is starting on the outside. He's never been a full-time starter on the outside. Walter Thurman is starting at safety for the first time in his career. Now, the Eagle defense in the back end is faster than they were last year, but they still have a lot of guys who are playing who have not really, played a lot. So that's the way they'll attack.
I got to think Byron Maxwell is going to be on Julio more often than not. I mean, don't you think?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Although the only thing about Nolan Carroll, he's a pretty good sized guy, and they may feel okay with that. But we don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think Maxwell's got a half an inch on him. But yeah, I can see that. But bottom line is Leonard Hankerson's your three. Tevin Coleman you know, just talk about how tough it's going to be likely for Tevin Coleman. And look, he looked good in the preseason. That was one game, fourth preseason, a deep backup.
Well, he had one long. See, here's a perfect example, John. He had one long run, you know, and does that mean he looked good in the preseason? He carried the ball 12 times in the preseason and had one long run. Take away that run and he carried like 11 times for 12 yards.
True. So, I guess it was one very impressive run, though, Greg.
Yeah, and I agree. But, I mean, you know, so that's why the preseason, how do you gauge that? I'm being honest with you. How do you gauge what Tevin Coleman is?
Oh, I know. It's bizarre because he was not going to be the guy. It was all Devonta Freeman. I mean, Roddy White himself told me that. And then Freeman had the hamstring. They both had the hamstring. But Coleman came back a lot quicker. And now, ready or not, here you go. You're going to start. Although, we'll see. I think Freeman will be in the game. I would not touch the Falcon running backs this week because the Eagles are very good against the run here. Now, on the other side, we know they're going to run the crap out of the football. You know, for the record, Greg, and this is a little ballsy, but I've got DeMarco Murray at like 3 at running back. I got Ryan Matthews at like 19. I mean, I'm ranking Ryan Matthews over a lot of lead backs. I mean, what do you think here? I mean, clearly they're going to lean heavily. I would think, especially on the road in the dome, why not just run the crap out of the ball?
Well, they're going to do that. I mean, that's the way they play. I mean, you know, they're a sustaining offense. They're not a big play offense per se, the Eagles. It's run a lot of plays at a high tempo, get the defense breathing heavy, make it unable for them to substitute. That's what the Eagles do. You know, they'll run the ball. I mean, this could be a game because I think the Falcon defense, you know, I don't think they're terrible, but they've got some holes. I could see the Eagles running 85 plays in this game.
And finally, Greg, the Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers. We know the Vikings have had a very good preseason. Some concerns on the offensive line. Peterson, of course. But the Niner D, Greg, you were kind of impressed with them. Talk about what you're seeing out of them in the preseason.
Yeah, I think they're a little better than people think. You know, they've lost some names, and that's what people respond to. But I think they have a lot of young players who are going to be pretty good. They may not have that one pass rusher right now, although I think Aaron Lynch could fill that role as the season progresses. Bowman looked very good. He played in that third preseason game. He played the entire first half, and he looked very good. I think their defense is going to be a little better than people think.
Greg, we're wrapping it up here. We've got 27 minutes, though, left that we could potentially use on the podcast. So it may take you a full 27 minutes, but I want you to inform the listening audience and tell the listening audience, give us all your impressions, gather your notes about what you saw in the preseason. And I know it's a lot. It's multi-layered. What you saw from the Niner passing game in the preseason. It's going to take you 20 minutes here, Greg.
Right. I thought you were going to ask me what I saw from Adrian Peterson in the preseason, given that he didn't play one snap.
It's almost the same question, Greg.
Yeah. You know, the Niner offense, they kind of got hurt by their third preseason game when the game played out that they only ran 19 offensive plays in the first half. I couldn't begin to tell you what their offense is going to be, John. I really couldn't. We know they're going to run the ball. I mean, Carlos Hyde, I think Reggie Bush will be used both as a feature back and as a satellite player. I think they'd like Ellington to become a factor in what they do, you know, as sort of another satellite type player to create matchups. But I think it all starts with Carlos Hyde as far as they're concerned. I got very little feel from Colin Kaepernick and obviously no feel from Vernon Davis, and they made it a priority in the offseason to get Vernon Davis back more involved in their offense, but it didn't show up in the preseason yet. So I'm being honest, I have no feel for their offense going into week one against a very difficult defense, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an unbelievable matchup with Mike Zimmer there. I can tell you this, in addition to what you said about running the football, they do have designs on throwing to the running backs, namely Bush, wheel routes, and the like. I mean, how confident are you in Colin Kaepernick to get the ball with touch and timing to Reg Bush?
Kaepernick has, you know, he has a lot to prove here. He needs things defined for him at this point, and I think if they are, he can make throws. But, you know, you could also see him running a lot because he has to, because they have changes on their O-line, and they're playing a difficult defense this week. And, you know, we could see Kaepernick back, you know, leaving the pocket early because he's just not trusting it and not comfortable, and that's sort of in his DNA. So he could be a runner.
Will he throw a 4-yard fastball that gets stuck in Reggie Bush's face mask when he looks to him? That's the real question with Kaepernick.
Well, he's not a pace thrower. That's one of the things that he needs to work on if he's to become a higher level quarterback. He's a power thrower, and he doesn't have a lot of pace and touch on throws.
I thought I'd get a laugh on that, Greg, but look, they all can't be winners.
Well, you know,
you got to put yourself out there.
Stand-up comedy is hard, John. You know that.
It is. I need more audience testing on that. But
yeah, exactly.
That's going to wrap it up. We got one in the books here, Greg. 16 more to go. And by the way, programming note, we're going to record going forward on Wednesday evening. So it'll be up on Thursday morning. But Greg, thanks a lot for the information. We'll talk to you next week. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. Check out fantasyguru.com and we'll catch you next time. Also, check out all the other podcasts because we're doing an Ask Guru podcast this year, and we're also doing a Waiver Wire podcast. The Waiver Wire one on Tuesday, the Ask Guru one on Wednesday. So check those out as well. Joe Dolan, Paul Kelly, Tom Brawley, and our new man, Bo Wolf as well. Until next time, good luck in week number one.